With that in mind, let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us, for all the days, hours, and minutes that you've given us. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning, but not only waking us up, but waking us up in our right minds and with the full use of our extremities. And all these things, we want to thank you and we want to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it slipped my mind, but not really. Today is Mother's Day. And I want to start the day off with a happy Mother's Day to all of you. I do also believe that it's usually one of the most attended service days, right up there with Christmas and Easter, usually. A church's congregation, as we all know, is predominantly attended by women. But you don't have to take my word for it. We all know this. But according to a survey that was conducted in 2001, then later in 2014, the average American congregation is roughly 61% female and 39% male. Now, while five out of six men consider themselves to be Christians and to profess to having faith in God, only a handful of those men on the whole actually really do go to church. This seems to suggest that it's not that men are less likely to be believers. It's just that they're less likely to go to church. See, that may be the case as, like I said, we can tend to look out on any given church Sunday and see that there's barely any men in the congregation. So I want to take this moment to give thanks and respect to the men that do come out without it being a special occasion. And y'all know who y'all are. Some of y'all may ask, why? Why are there so few men in attendance? And it is a good question. While doing research for my sermon, it dates back to the Industrial Revolution, where men were the sole breadwinners, the sole providers for the house. And that left the women home to take care of the children. No doubt the men were tired after working all week, and they just needed that weekend to catch up on their rest. Now, the much less talked about reason is that there are more fun things to do than go to church on a Sunday. I'm not going to lie to y'all. You know, some men are watching or playing sports with their children. Going to the movies, they're looking at TV. Or they're just hanging out with friends and family who came to visit them for Mother's or Father's Day. Now, I understand, it's just the way that life is. I'm not pointing fingers. I recently read a book by the name of Why Men Hate Going to Church. The author, David Moreau, suggests that men believe that the church has become relational and nurturing. And those are feminine qualities compared to the rough and rugged persona that men are supposed to have. How they focus on the struggles of Jesus. You know, the trials and tribulations that he had to go through. They can in a way relate to it versus Jesus preaching and loving one another. He believed that the church has started leaning towards attributes that are ladylike, attributes that are feminine, such as expressing of those feelings of love. And then we're not going to get into the music that if you've heard some of the songs that are out now, they're much more love-based versus the standard, and you know, and they're too emotional versus the standard roughness that men are portrayed as being. This goes back to they don't want to be caught up in their feelings, for lack of a better phrase. Now, Nancy Piercy, a biblical scholar, stated that as long as Christianity appeals to the emotional, therapeutic, interpersonal, and relational areas, it's not going to appeal to men as much as women. These are some of the things that make men feel uncomfortable when they attend church, and therefore they don't attend church. As a matter of fact, according to Moreau, about 23% of married women attend church without their husbands. And that's not counting, like I said, the special days. I want to thank y'all for being patient with me, because there is a method to the madness on where I'm going with this. I want to start this off first and foremost, just in case word leaves here that I was berating men. I want to apologize, because it's not my intention to demean men in any way, shape, or form, because I don't know their individual reasons for not being here. And you know, you can't lump everybody into that same bucket, that same basket, because of a few choices that a few people make. All I know is that I'm here today. And it's not because I'm the priest, but because I believe that I'm a servant of the Lord and that I should be with the congregation. But I want to also believe that hopefully I'm a good father and a good role model. That we shall see. Now, what I'm trying to say is that women are here in the here and now. And they're very present in all aspects of the child's life. As a matter of fact, they're an integral part of a child's life. They're often the backbones of the family, balancing work, maintaining the house, and motherhood. And they do this with skill and wisdom. From the moment of conception to our birth, and many, many years later, a mother is present in one way or another. A mother is the first contact that a child has with the world and in dealing with it. Our mothers are our first caregivers, our first teachers, and our first contact with emotion and emotional support. At least that's the case with some of them. Our mothers are there to comfort us and to kiss away our boo-boos when we get hurt and when we fall. They're there to root us on when we first start to walk, whether we're successful or not. They're the ones that go to church with you, and they're also the ones that you turn to in order to answer your questions about God and Jesus. Yes, the priests are there too, but you tend to turn toward those that are familiar. They're the ones that run to you when they get out of Sunday school just to tell you what they learned and how prophetic they are, because there's this person by the name of Jesus. A mother's shoulder is usually there when we feel sad. Her ears are open to those problems that we have when there's no one else to turn to. She laughs with us, goes to the park and plays with us. Whether she wants to or not, because we want to go. As in all things, there are some rotten apples, like I said, in the mix, who drop and go. Those who become pregnant for whatever reason, had the baby or babies, and decided that they didn't want to do what was right. Those that want to continue living the single life without a care in the world. The unspoken. The ones that are there, but we act like they don't exist until something happens. Then all of a sudden, we know they're there. That being the case, there are some of you who had aunts and grandmothers who had to step up to the plate when your biological mother wouldn't or couldn't. Some of y'all might never have known your mother, but have been blessed by others like an aunt who stepped up when there was a need for her to do that. I lost my mother when I was 12 years old, and it devastated me. So I can understand what my kids are going through when they lost their mother some time ago. I was lucky enough to have had a few people who stepped up to the plate, and a father who played both roles as a mommy. You know, a mommy and a daddy. That's a situation that I'm also quite familiar with. Whether your mother was there or not, you have to get out of the past and get past those issues. You have to start heading towards the future and get to living in the here and now, putting the past behind you. We have to understand that whoever stepped up to fill the role of that mother, of being our mother, or being mother-like, is a gift from God. And that we must always, and I mean always, be thankful for what we've received from them. Because like I said, they didn't have to do anything. It wasn't their responsibility. But they did it anyway. Amen? The Old Testament scriptures are constantly telling us that respect for our parents is one of the most important things that we have to have and that we need to continue to have for as long as we are alive on God's green earth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 tells us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, it does the same when it tells us, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. See, I know that in my parents' house, when I was growing up, being disrespectful, talking slick, or just plain acting rude did not guarantee you a long life. And I'm quite sure that some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. There was also a saying that some of y'all might have heard. I'm going to start it off. Let's see if y'all can finish it. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it. Exactly. Back in my younger days, many, many, many years ago, that was probably just talk when my mother said it. But I wasn't going to be that person to test it out and see. Along with respect, we have to honor our mothers. Whatever your age, whatever your position in life is, you have to honor and respect her. God has given a blessing to those of us whose mothers are still with them. And we must always be thankful. No matter what age we are, we need to remember that children, whether our children or somebody else's children, look up to us as role models. And we need to be the best example of how to give respect to not only our mothers, but in the grand scheme of the picture, every one of God's children. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, if you want to be wise, listen to your parents and do what they tell you, and the Lord will help you. For the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached. And that promise being, you will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 19, that among all of the commandments, you need to honor your father and mother. As a matter of fact, mothers are placed on a higher level because God promised in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, I shall comfort you. We must never, ever take the love of our mothers for granted because it's never guaranteed. But it's something that I can guarantee you that it's always wanted and it's definitely needed. Sometimes the words to describe your mother just aren't there, especially with the sacrifices that she had to make, the pain that she had to go through, and those worrisome nights, those nights the way she was stressed, that she stayed up while waiting for you to get home from your first date or your first job or your first time being away from her for any real length of time. I want you to know that it's also okay if your relationship with your mother isn't perfect. That's what life is about. The good times, the bad times, and all the times in between. It's tough enough sometimes just to care for ourselves. But when you add in all the responsibilities that a mother has to have in order to care for her children, it can sometimes be overwhelming, and that's to say the least. My brothers and sisters, as we leave our church home today and we go out into the world, let us leave knowing that we have been, and some of us still are, blessed to know the feeling of a mother's love. Now again, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, Happy Mother's Day to y'all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.